Andy has taken what we believe to be the cover-up and gaslighting approach to a security vulnerability, and now several months after the responsible disclosure by the security researcher, Andy has finally released its security patch for a remote code execution vulnerability discovered in its Ryzen Master auto-update software. Security researcher Mr. Bruh, whom we've worked with on a lot of content in the past, found that AMD's Ryzen Master utility could allow man-in-the-middle attacks due to insecure code. Mr. Bruh reported the vulnerability in early February. At first, AMD seemingly ignored the issue, closing the report as, quote, out of scope, end quote. Wouldn't it be great if you could just close work orders at work as out of scope? Then, after the security researcher who discovered the vulnerability posted about it on Hacker News, and users began questioning AMD's lack of a response, we believe AMD tried concealing the fact that it didn't address the reported vulnerability. Users wrote, quote, apparently it's also outside the scope of their bug-fixing program, despite being trivially remotely exploitable to get privileged code execution. Man-in-the-middle attacks may be out of scope for AMD, but they're still in scope for actual attackers. Ignoring them is indefensibly incompetent. A policy of ignoring them is a policy of being indefensibly incompetent, end quote. After these posts gained traction, AMD then claimed the report it had just closed was actually still under review, but by a different team. AMD even had the gall to assert that the security researcher's blog post violated the terms of AMD's bug bounty program, despite the vulnerability being, again, out of scope of said bug bounty program. So they bounced him actively, and then when he posted about the vulnerability so that actual people would know about the vulnerability, AMD decided that he should still be under the embargo terms of the program that they bounced him out of. That sounds awfully familiar. Seemingly, when AMD realized that the post didn't actually violate its terms, GamersXS found that the company silently changed them after the fact in a way that retroactively creates the violation. AMD even lied about its fix, claiming, quote, within the application, all update communications are secured using HTTPS and updates undergo signature verification, end quote, despite only utilizing CRC32, which is typically used to identify data corruption, not as a cryptographic signature. Not to mention it took AMD 124 days to provide mitigation, far exceeding the 90-day industry standard. Again, while the company tried to gaslight the researcher, we think, by saying he was the one violating the terms that AMD itself didn't operate under. Additionally, AMD's yet to publish a statement telling its users that they'll likely need to completely reinstall Ryzen Master, something our security researcher source has suggested is required to properly patch the vulnerability. To us, this is the worst aspect of all of this. Every company has security vulnerabilities. It's not good, obviously, but they're pretty standard, and fixing them properly and under somewhat industry standard guidelines really means it's a non-story. You get a big patch, some people talk about it, it goes away. Covering it up, or at least looking like that, and retconning the rules to try and make it look like the researcher did something wrong is just gaslighting and it's manipulative and one of the worst responses we've seen recently to such a find. That brings us though to our most immediate news up front, which is if you have Ryzen Master installed on your system, we would recommend completely uninstalling your current version before downloading the latest version from AMD's website, which should have the fixes in it now. And let's start by going over the vulnerability in question. Before that, this video is brought to you by Totem, a series of extremely squishable plushies and a new card game designed by a local friend of mine who works with real artists for all of his card game art and plushie designs. Totem draws upon historical cultural iconography mixed with endearing character design to create a series of mythical beasts, monsters, and characters in a tabletop trading card game. And its work with real artists offers a breath of fresh air for its refusal of AI-generated slop work. This new card game was designed ground up with handmade art, gameplay mechanics, and a concept of constructing a totem of mythical characters using a mix of tricks, traps, and bluffs. The company was launched by the guy who runs our warehouse and playtested by Vincent the Lawyer, who provides expert insight and consumer protection videos for us. Learn more at the link in the description below.
All right, so the researcher, Mr. Bruh, is a security researcher. He's provided GN actually a lot of commentary in the past, such as for our Rise of Chinese Memory piece, where he commented on DRAM cells and whether they are or aren't something that could be used to hide attack vectors within. And he's also commented on our RGB malware videos where we asked him for help and some guidance on basically how malware finds its way into systems and what it does. He discovered a security flaw in Ryzen Master and reported it to AMD, which initially seemed to ignore him. And then he brought it to us. And if you're a security researcher or know one who has a story similar to this that you'd like to get out or would like some help pressuring companies, you can email us team@gamersnexus.net. So for context, Cloudflare broadly describes remote code execution, or RCE, attacks as, quote, flaws in software that allow an attacker to run malicious code on a target system, end quote. Regarding the vulnerability we're discussing today, basically, the executable download links in AMD's auto-update software use HTTP instead of the more secure HTTPS protocol. Additionally, AMD's auto-update doesn't utilize any certificate validation to prevent it from downloading and running unsigned executables. Mr. Bruh describes how this can be used as an attack vector, explaining, quote, "This means that a malicious attacker on your network or a nation state that has access to your ISP can easily perform a man-in-the-middle attack and replace the network response with any malicious executable of their choosing," end quote. IBM defines a man-in-the-middle attack as a, quote, "cyber attack in which a hacker steals sensitive information by eavesdropping on communications between two online targets, such as a user and a web application," end quote. Although a vulnerability isn't good, obviously, they do exist everywhere. We cover them all the time in applications, drivers, everything else. It's really, though, AMD's response that disturbed us, especially given the millions of people who use Ryzen Master. After Mr. Brun notified AMD, the company closed his report and said, quote, "We had a look at your report and noticed that the issue falls under the following mentioned in the out of scope," subquote here, "attacks requiring physical access to a victim's computer or device, man in the middle, or compromised user accounts," and subquote, "therefore, I will have to close the report as out of scope," end quote. To clarify here for AMD, because they didn't do a good job of it, when it describes the vulnerability as being out of scope, it specifically in this instance means being out of scope of the requirements or conditions for its bug bounty program. Bug bounty programs exist for a lot of companies where they will pay security researchers to find problems because not doing that is bad. And specifically because your options are support a white hat hacker type of community where they're just out for the security interests of normal people, or risk it ending up on the dark web for sale as a vulnerability in the next 0 day. So it's standard policy to privately disclose findings first, give a company some time to fix it, and then have an agreed upon public disclosure period, which is done so that it protects the users. Andy has, with Mr. Bruh, gone through this process now. So this is fixed at this point. As we're reporting on this, we are working with Mr. Bruh to report on this at a time specifically when you can already get the fix for the best interests of the users. But he had to drag AMD through this process, and it is not good the way they handled it. So in any case, considering AMD labeled the vulnerability as out of scope and closed the report, Mr. Bruh operated under the correct assumption that AMD wasn't interested and that he was allowed to post about the vulnerability himself, because they didn't have anything that said he didn't, so he did. It wasn't until Mr. Bruh's post started getting traction on Hacker News that AMD reached back out, backtracking its previous statements and claiming that the vulnerability report that it had just said was closed was actually still under review, but by a different team. How convenient that the big companies always pull the "big company, just a big communication mess" card. AMD stated, quote, "I am writing from AMD PSIRT. We are still conducting an internal review of your report. Please note that even if Integrity has rejected the submission as out of scope for the bounty program, we're still happy to review the details to determine whether there may be any potential validity," end quote. It also clarified that Mr. Bruh's report was, quote, "marked out of scope because it is not eligible for a bounty under our current program guidelines, as it affects optional tools and relies on a man-in-the-middle attack scenario," end quote. Because, as we all know, the poor, scrappy, $800 billion company that is AMD can't afford to pay security researchers for their work. It needs to save that budget to support ChatGPT, to harvest the work of everybody for free, ingest the intellectual property. For context, while AMD runs its bug bounty program through Integrity, a third-party platform with a terrible name, AMD's Product Security Incident Response Team, or PSIRT, is AMD's internal security team and technically a separate entity. AMD describes PSIRT as, quote, "the focal point for reporting potential AMD product security issues. AMD PSIRT interfaces with the product security ecosystem, including security researchers, industry peers, government organizations, customers, and vendors, working together to report potential AMD product security issues, end quote. Now, we would imagine that AMD saw Mr. Bruh's public post, as well as some of the negative comments directed toward AMD, and basically commenced what we believe is its cover-up from there, claiming it was actually still reviewing the report, despite previously informing Mr. Bruh that AMD closed his report in no uncertain terms. This really is classic big company smoke and mirrors hand-waving bullshit, where they try to pretend, oh, we're a big company, right hand doesn't talk to the left hand, oopsie daisies, we didn't mean it. But to us, it just looks like bullshit, because if AMD's PSIRT were genuinely already in the process of reviewing Mr. Bruh's vulnerability, as they claimed, after they closed the report through Integrity, then, and we don't believe this is the case, by the way, then we don't understand how it was never once communicated to him, because that's part of being a security researcher, is you're communicated with by the company, both to check their fix, to make sure it works, which if you're not paid is just insulting, but at least, you know, the public is secure, but also to make sure that they have an agreed upon disclosure date so the researcher can at least get some fucking credit for doing the work and disclose it at a time when it's been patched. That's how it's supposed to work. AMD did not communicate with him, which is why we think it's bullshit that they claim that they were researching it and that it was just a left-hand, right-hand miscommunication. That's, to me, it's just, that's horseshit. That's not how that worked. The researcher should be kept in the loop for responsible disclosure timing. It's that simple. When AMD told Mr. Bruh that it closed his report, it didn't say something like, the vulnerability is out of scope of the bounty program, but AMD PSIRT is researching it actively in the background. We'll keep you informed. That's not what they said. They could have said that. And it simply just closed his report. So for AMD to claim otherwise is corporate gaslighting. Additionally, despite AMD already classifying the vulnerability as out of scope of its bug bounty program, the company maintained that Mr. Bruh's blog post violated AMD's bug bounty program. The only problem is that it didn't, at least not yet. But we can always change it to make it so that it does. We noticed that over a month after effectively coercing Mr. Bruh to take down his blog post informing the public of an unaddressed vulnerability, AMD amended its bug bounty program rules of engagement. We found that AMD changed these terms. Quote, you agree to adhere to any embargoes and refrain from discussing or disclosing any vulnerability information without AMD's prior written consent, including proofs of concept on YouTube, Vimeo, etc., end quote. Now, it reads this, quote, you agree to adhere to any embargoes and refrain from discussing or disclosing vulnerability information without AMD's prior written consent, even if the report is deemed ineligible for bounty or is out of scope, end quote. Our interpretation is that AMD wouldn't have appended, quote, even if the report is deemed ineligible for bounty or is out of scope, end quote, if AMD had already considered ineligible and out of scope reports as subject to embargoes. To us, this is a straight up admission from AMD that Mr. Bruh's post was not in violation of its terms because it changed them after his blog post. In any case, Mr. Bruh had already agreed to remove his post while AMD worked on its fix, which was awfully nice of him. At this point, AMD also notified Mr. Bruh that it intended on issuing a CVE, patching the vulnerability, and crediting him with security researcher recognition. We're sure the exposure will help pay the bills. Now, describing the timeline between discovering the vulnerability and AMD publicly disclosing it, Mr. Bruh noted this. Quote, AMD did not actively keep me updated, despite assuring me they would. They only told me what the fix for this vulnerability was a couple of days before the embargo ended, and only after I explicitly asked, end quote. Additionally, AMD took 124 days from the initial disclosure date to provide a mitigation, noticeably longer than the 90-day industry standard. Regarding AMD's patch, the company stated, quote, in Ryzen Master, the auto updater functionality has been removed from the installer and moved to the application layer. Within the application, all update communications are secured using HTTPS and updates undergo signature verification, end quote. According to Mr. Bruh, quote, I have since validated those claims. Although it is true that they now fully use HTTPS, the claim about signature verification is untrue. They only perform a CRC32 check on the downloaded executable, which is not cryptographically secure, end quote. So it seems AMD has misrepresented the level of security provided by its patch. We would ask AMD about this, but they stopped answering our questions months ago. So I guess we won't. Additionally, due to a completely separate URL redirection bug in AMD's auto updater, Mr. Bruh claims users will need to fully uninstall Ryzen Master in order to patch the vulnerability, something AMD failed to mention to its users. Mr. Bruh describes the situation as a catch-22, saying, quote, "You need to update the updater to fix the vulnerability, but the updater won't update until the redirection bug is fixed. Nice," end quote. Also, not telling users about it seems like a massive liability, just to speak in terms that AMD probably actually understands. According to Mr. Bruh, when he was talking about needing to update the updater to fix the updater, but the updater won't update until the redirection bug being fixed, he said, quote, "Although I have tried to alert them of the issue, AMD themselves have not published a statement telling people that they need to reinstall Ryzen Master. However, I am extremely confident that this is required," end quote. This is at the time of this going down. I don't know if AMD's going to try and change this stuff after the fact to keep the gaslighting up. But anyway, this seemingly contradicts AMD's product security page, which claims that AMD's PSIRT will, quote, "leverage feedback from customers, researchers, and internal teams to further improve product security," end quote. So if Mr. Bruh is correct about his belief that in order for users to be properly secure, they need to fully uninstall Ryzen Master before downloading the latest version and installing that, something he warned AMD about ahead of time, and AMD doesn't publish a statement clarifying this to users, we do think it should be held liable for any attacks that happen as a result of them not properly preventing this by informing users of how to patch the vulnerability correctly. Ultimately, we're having a hard time believing that this wasn't just a bunch of smoke and mirrors bullshit as a cover-up by AMD. And we're extremely skeptical that this would have received any attention at all if Mr. Bruh hadn't posted his findings publicly, and if it hadn't gotten the traction it did. Specifically, I think it was on Hacker News where it started getting picked up. AMD's responses in some instances feel like straight up lying or coercive, where they were trying to get him to take it down after they had already basically rejected it to begin with. And to be clear, like, he was under no obligation to keep his findings private. Like, that's something that you do as part of the community, security researcher community, and when people are trying to get stuff patched so that the public isn't just fucked by it out of nowhere because maybe an attacker moves faster than the company does to patch it. So he was already operating under basically industry standard sort of protocol. AMD was the one that rejected the report initially and didn't communicate further beyond that. That's on AMD. It is not on the researcher at that point. Oh, I guess I'll just shut my fucking mouth and hope nobody ever finds out about this. No, fuck that. Like, post that shit publicly because it's the only way it'll ever get addressed. And that's after trying to go through what would be considered, I guess, the proper channels. So, you know, this is, it's funny in one way, I guess, to see how AMD treats embargoes for security researchers and it being the same as for reviewers, where like just 2 weeks ago, they tried to embargo a GPU they launched a fucking year ago, the 9070 GRE, that we've already reviewed, for something that's publicly available on the market. You can just buy it. So their policy seems the same. Anyway, AMD's responses in some instances, it just seems like gaslighting to us, especially the retroactive changes to the policies after Mr. Bruh's encounter with them. For one, we don't think Integrity should be telling users that it's closing the reports if it's actually sending them to AMD PSIRT for further review. Not that it's our job to tell them how they should fix this, but, you know, this is out of scope for the bug bounty program, but we're forwarding it to AMD PSIRT review would probably go a long way. It should probably at least explain what that actually means for the user when a report is closed, because most people don't interpret closing the report as sending it for additional review. That's not what those words mean. It's like literally the opposite. So really there was nowhere that it was made clear to Mr. Bruh by AMD that they were actually going to work on this, which is why we think they only started actively investigating it after he posted it publicly. We also think if AMD is going to lie and accuse users of violating its terms, those terms need to be clearly stated and actually be in effect before accusing the user of violating the term. It's like not appended nearly 2 months after the fact, and especially when there's no consideration anyway. There's your legal buzzword for the day, AMD lawyers. Additionally, while we can understand why AMD doesn't want security researchers posting vulnerabilities that it's actively looking into and actively fixing, and that makes sense, we think if a security researcher finds a vulnerability that AMD doesn't consider important enough to fix itself, the researcher obviously should be allowed to share it with others. First of all, they're under no contract or obligation. And secondly, at least with the original terms, and secondly, Sharing it with the community so that at least users don't fall victim to something that a company has rejected as not being worthy of fixing is really only the responsible thing to do at that point. And it seems simple to us. It's like if they prioritize the safety of their users, then this is a very simple matter. In any case, to us, this whole thing just boils down to AMD needs to be clear about what its rules are up front and not retroactively change them to try and fix a bad PR situation by throwing a researcher under the bus. Finally, we think if Ryzen Master truly requires users to fully uninstall it before installing the new version to receive the patch properly, AMD absolutely must make this clear to end users as it releases its patches, because otherwise they're not going to do it properly and they're going to stay vulnerable. So that's kind of it. That's it for this one. Great work by Mr. Bra. He has a blog that we'll link below for this. He's been doing a lot of research and reports over the last couple of years. We've worked with him on a few pieces where he's provided some expert insight. Really like the work he does. He writes stuff in a way that's easy to follow and understand, and we'd recommend his blog post. But that is going to be it for this one. Thanks for watching. Subscribe for more. Go to store.gamersaccess.net to support us directly and our reporting. Our thanks to Mr. Bra for contacting us and keeping us in the loop and helping educate us on the issue when AMD didn't seem to care that much. And if you're a security researcher, we'd be happy to do the same. If you want to contact us, team@gamersaccess.net, and work with us on any of your upcoming findings in case a company isn't handling it properly or whatever. So we can at least apply some pressure on the back end, although not with AMD because they don't fucking answer my emails or talk to me. So that's it for this one. Thanks for watching. Subscribe more. We'll see you all next time.